is going on, everybody? Welcome back to the PlayStation Drive episode 134. My name's Matt, and I'll be your host for today's events. I'm joined by the Canadian Superman himself, Mr. Sean Capri. What's up, Sean?
If I take off my glasses, I'm a superhero. But I put on my glasses, I'm a regular dude.
You can't tell the difference. One time you showed up without glasses, I was like, I don't know who this is. What is happening here?
I turned into Quagmire, as it turns out. I take off my glasses and I turn into Quagmire. I look exactly the same. There's video proof of this.
I'll stick with Canadian Superman. I don't really want to go with Canadian Quagmire. Is Quagmire Canadian?
Nope, no. But that works. Canadian Quagmire. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
And also hopping into the car with us today is, of course, the $2 hero himself, Mr. Seth Sturgill. What's up, Seth?
Hey, boys. Good to be here with you. I couldn't pass up the opportunity to do this with you one last time, Matt. And I was like, I've been playing a bunch of this, actually. This here TLOU2 remastered. So I can definitely chime in. For sure.
This good old TLOUT. Two things. Yeah. There are words coming out of my mouth. Court in the chat, huge echo on the audio. I don't know where that echo would be coming from.
Whose is it echoing?
Point the finger. Who knows?
Is it
me you're looking for?
I'll check it out.
I don't hear an echo. Bowser says I don't hear an echo. Okay. We roll Court on problem. And we'll see what happens with this echo. But, of course... very, very excited to be joined by both of you for one last trip on the PlayStation Drive. Next week, I'll be back for my final voyage, but I couldn't go out without, of course, hanging out with both of you. But if you're watching this live right now, we got to clean out this garage first on carpoolgaming.com, youtube.com/carpoolgaming. Wow, word salad today. Please like the stream. Okay. Usually we got Seth or Sean in the chat talking about how they like the stream. If you haven't liked the stream, this would be a good time to do what, Sean?
Like the stream? You could like it.
And Seth? Yeah.
Like it? Like the stream?
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't like it. Don't hit the thumbs down. We always tell people what to do. We don't say like, don't miss it. Like, aim carefully. Because the dislike button is directly next to it. It's dangerously close,
actually. You could slip up.
You could slip up. Yeah. You can make a mistake. Don't make a mistake. Do it perfectly. Okay?
Yeah. And it's just make sure you look. If you see the like, it's usually like a little like, woo! There's like a little thing that goes along with it, right?
You'll really know.
Celebrate you liking it. You're going to know. But also hit that bell so you're notified when things happen on the channel. You are aware and you can be here for it. If you're listening to us on your podcast service of choice, hit us with that follow, that subscribe, those 5 stars, that sweet, sweet review. It's not like I don't go to bed every night just wishing for more reviews. I don't do it. Okay? But I might. And of course, if you have bucks to toss our way, head to patreon.com/carpoolgaming, toss in bucks into the good old tip jar, and out comes a cornucopia of content for you to consume and enjoy. But without further ado, guys, there's just been so many songs batting around in my mind lately. Maybe about not having enough time for things. Maybe other types of songs that have just existed in my mind. But I want to know what's been on your playlist, Sheth. Ooh, left turn.
Chef? We talk at the same time. We're like a Let's chef. Like both. Chef. Yeah. We just made a new character. That's our fusion dance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chef.
Chef.
Nobody needs that, dude. Yeah,
definitely not.
Nobody needs that. I would pay good money for that.
Just another moment in Carpool Gaming's lexicon being completely indiscernible and like incomprehensible. We turn Thursdays into Thursdays, Tuesdays into Tuesdays. Yeah. Jonathan's into Jonathan's. It's all a mess up in here. Now, chefs, is that, oh man, no, I don't like it.
I feel like a good 10% of any of our shows need to not be entirely recognizable right away, and that comes with the territory, right? Because then they want to get into the Discord, they want to learn what are they talking about,
what are they talking about, what's a talkie, what is this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a thing. We were talking about it. There, we might be having to create like a booklet, like a translator of some sort, like a decoder kind of thing. You got to translate these letters and these phrases into standard,
English. Decoder ring.
And it's like you start off at like level one, like base. Yeah. You're like a tire going up to like level two. You're now the wheel as well. Number three, you've got like the front half of the car, and you work all the way up to be like a wizard.
Car pun.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah. I gotcha.
Not at all. Like any other.
Basically, we're on this tangent, I think, because neither Seth or I knew who to start. Like, hey, you go ahead. Sounded like both of us.
Go ahead. No, go right ahead.
Yes. Well, I think you probably maybe have the more interesting game, as in The Last of Us, which I'm stoked to hear you talk about. Over the weekend, I completed Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. I ran credits on it, rolled credits on it. Seth, I don't know how you did that so fast, dude.
Yeah.
It took me, the game clock told me 40 hours. I might have left it like on pause for like an hour or two or something. So it's not completely accurate, but like I took my time with this one. I wandered. I saw all the things. I definitely let it cook. Maybe, I think it cooked to the appropriate temperature and finished nice and crispy on the outside juicy on the inside. I don't know what you're supposed to want in a game.
Famous cook, Sean Capri.
That's me. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm a mess in the kitchen. Are you kidding me? This game is excellent, dude. Like, I absolutely loved every moment with it. And by the end of it, you know, you get to the point where it's clear. You're off to the final dude. You're going to have a final battle. I'm like, I'm not ready for it yet. I went off and I cleaned up a bunch of side quests, which were very helpful, by the way. It's not just like checking off boxes. Like, they give you excellent power-ups and items and things like that. More shards, which is, we need more shards in video games. Definitely. That's a top tier word in video games.
Not enough shards.
I want my shards. Yeah.
Not enough shards and not enough chefs.
Definitely not enough chefs. Right. Chefs love shards, actually. We do.
Yep.
Hashtag.
This game though, man, like I'm hoping that it continues to be part of the conversation throughout the year. You know, these January releases, this is a typical thing for, you know, Q1 games to come out, be great, and then be completely forgotten by the end of the year. So I just thought that it was really amazing. The only negative I have on it is like there's a couple bugs with it. There's a couple of things. There was one time actually I was playing with where was I, Seth? Was I just in the Discord just hanging out this weekend? I think so. With some people in the Discord. We do that every once in a while. And I was playing one of the bosses and he just like glitched out, just like stopped moving. Actually, like kind of got to the point where his health would get to that trigger point where it's supposed to like go into an animation. He would stop moving. He would stop taking damage. So I had to restart. So that was a bit of a bummer. And I had one of the quests bug out that I completed it, but it didn't give me the credit, didn't say complete and give me the thing. But other than that, and hopefully those things get patched out pretty soon here, but dude, like even still, I have wholeheartedly recommended this game previously and I continue to. Everybody should be playing this game. And as much as I love it, my brain is a little fried, you know, cleaning up those things at the last end. You're like, you're kind of going back and forth on up and around. You gotta do the thing. I want to jump into another Metroidvania, but like I need a palate cleanser. You know, I got to do something in between. Maybe I'll go beat the hell out of a Pokemon with a baseball bat or some guns with the Power
gun.
World.
Yeah.
Or just a straight up gun.
Yeah. Just straight up guns.
Who knew the most popular thing in the world would be shooting up a Pokemon? Dude, like we're going to kick off YouTube with me on this dang show. What are you doing,
this,
man?
That game is definitely looks like interesting. Well, we'll leave it at that.
That Power World.
I'm glad you're enjoying Prince of Persia, dude.
Oh, because man, it's excellent.
It's high on my list. It's like, it's probably like after I'm through the couple games that I'm playing, like I think that's next. Because the first time we saw that game, we were like, that game looks dope. All of
Same.
Us, I think we're all watching it live.
We were right.
We were all on board.
Yes.
We were right. Yep. We were like, that game looks incredible. And then for whatever reason, some of the internet disagreed. But I didn't expect it to be as good as it seemingly is. You know what I mean?
Neither
I was expecting a good time, not a potential Game of the Year candidate, which some people are already saying.
It's my game
so
of the year
I
so far.
So what I want to ask you, Sean, well, there you go. And it's been a long
January
year.
January 22nd.
Yeah, it feels like it's already November. But like, how do you feel it stacks up with a lot of the other Metroidvanias? Because I feel like the last 5 to 6 years, we've had so many good Metroidvanias. I feel like we've had a big resurgence. How do you feel it stacks up, or at least what separates it from the herd? You know,
I mean, I feel like a lot of things have been sort of said already as far as its accessibility and new options, new quality of life elements. Kind of blends those two things together, I think, and they deserve differentiation between quality of life and accessibility. And I'm glad that you phrased it that way, because oftentimes I'm posed with the question, like, which one is better, this or Metroid Dread or this or something else? And like, honestly, I would rather talk about it in the way that you kind of phrase it here, which is it's in the pantheon of Metroid Dread. It sits rightfully so right next to Ori and the Blind Forest, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, and those kind of things, which is, from me, like top. That's the top compliment that I can give this, because I absolutely love Ori and the Blind Forest and the Will of the Wisps games. So, like, I feel like when you get down into which one's better, you're kind of getting nitpicky, and also it creates like a loser in the case of these amazing games. Right. You know, like, which one's better? Like, they're all great. That might sound like a cop out, but I feel like that's kind of, unfortunately, where we are with games, is when you compare something, it makes the one that isn't as good sound like a complete dud. And that's not fair to any of these games in this
and
category.
It's not fair to, like, compare Pokemon and Palworld like that, because, like, Pokemon doesn't even have guns.
It doesn't even have guns. Dude, did you see there's a mod already? There's a Pokemon mod for Palworld.
Yes. It's been like five days.
A Pikachu's, like, mining away, like, did something to me that I don't think will ever be undone.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. I like being a spectator of that game while this is all happening. I don't think I'm going to play it, but maybe I will.
That's where I'm at. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like, I think, save the game media in the chat. It'll kept says, Palworld makes me uncomfortable. I can't play. I think I'm in the same boat. I feel like it's like growing up with Pokemon. It's like, I can't see things that are very, very obviously, like, very, very obviously them, just different colors. I don't know
if it's just me. Like, the game looks bad. Like, I look at it, and I'm like, this doesn't look good. Like, I don't understand why it's so popular. I mean, I haven't played it, so I can't pass a judgment call on that. But I've watched a few people play it on Twitch, and I'm like, this looks rough, dude. Like, it looks like...
That's what Donnie said on the Xbox Drive. He said it's clearly early access, is what he said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, so. Not even any, like... No, forget
it's
it.
It's having a moment, though.
Like, it is, dude. Yeah. It really is.
It's having a moment.
Good for it. If it really is... A game that was designed and made on this team's own without any sort of shady dealings, then I continue to wish it success. I hope it gets better.
More ripoffs is what I say. Yeah, more blame ripoffs.
Another one.
I want to see Barrio run on the next iPhone. Like,
I'm trying to run through the alphabet. I'm like, what is the next? They've already got Wario.
Did you see they have another game coming out? Like, they put out their, they have a game, I think it's called, like, Craftopia or something like that, that is, like, so, like, it is so clearly Breath of the Wild. Like, they literally remade the opening of Breath of the Wild and said, this is new. And then, like, the thing that's coming later, post Palworld, is, like, a Hollow Knight ripoff. And it's like, and the guns. CEO has said, like, yeah, I don't really care that much about originality or creative ideas. Like, he's saying it with, like, a megaphone. Like, he's straight up, you know, like, he's not hiding it whatsoever. Nope. And, you know, the game just looks bad. I don't know. I don't know. I'm missing something here.
Yeah.
It's Pokemon, dude. Look what the bar is with the last Pokemon games.
It's true.
Yeah.
So who cares? Apparently.
Seth, what have you been playing? Because it sounds like you've been playing the better entry out of a hit duology.
Well, let me tell you something, Matt. This is actually, I don't know, man. Here's the deal. This is my first time playing The Last of Us 2 at all, right?
And I know everything that happens.
I played the first one.
Yeah.
Played a bunch of the first one. And when the second one came out, it was in like June of 2020, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like...
Father's Day. Mm-hmm.
Was it really Father's Day?
Yeah, well, I think it was like that weekend. Yeah, I think I played it that weekend.
Are you serious?
They did
I'm pretty
huh?
sure it was. If somebody can fact check me, I'm almost positive that I had like the weekend off. I think I was able to do whatever I wanted.
They
that
did
weekend
it to him.
It was Father's Day. They sure
Damn,
did.
Damn.
Yeah, they celebrated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say I skipped it when it came out because I was like, you know, game about like a global pandemic. I'm not really in the mood.
Fair.
Sean's right. It was that weekend.
Wow.
Yeah. Father's Day. Just going out golfing.
Dads love golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dads do love golf. Well, and that's the thing, right? Is I know all of the story beats. I'm very familiar with the story beats of, but I never played it myself. So I saw this as an opportunity to not only play the story for myself for the first time, but it's also got all these new additions and stuff, and it was only a $10 upgrade, so I was like, I'm in, you know? Mm-hmm. And I had the weekend to myself this weekend. I've had a bunch of time to play it, so I have like played not only a decent little bit of the story for the first time, and I'm really impressed. I hate to say. I think it's quite good so far.
So far, real good. And it keeps going. And it keeps going and going and going, and
And then the entire ride is just good and not any.
I'm digging it. I'm digging it. I'm digging it a lot.
It's just a long road of joy.
So was I. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see.
Laughs.
We'll see.
Laughs. Oh, man. What a laugh. Just joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the one thing I've been doing is I've just been laughing the whole time. It's been.
You need a good hit of serotonin. This is the vessel to deliver that.
Oh, it's man, bleak. If you're feeling down, play The Last of Us Part 2. Turn that frown right upside down.
And I will say, like, the thing that has been actually shocking to me is, like, the level of violence is actually, like, it's, like, crazy. It's, like, a lot. Even when I was playing the no return mode, like, I would, like, sneak up on a dude and, like, stab him and, like, a string of blood is, like, coming out of his neck.
Oh, yeah.
Like, ooh, damn.
Protect those necks, man. Yep. Like, protect the necks.
If you play that game on an inversion table, you're always laughing and smiling.
That's right. Yeah.
And yeah, it's just sweat that's coming out otherwise. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But you know what's funny, though, is, like, I like the gameplay of this so much more than I remember liking the first one's gameplay. The first one, I would say the gameplay was like a low point for me. And like this, you know, this, I was there for the story. I was there for the characters and the gameplay I felt was a little clunky. This one actually feels, especially I think is highlighted in this new no return mode. I'm like, this is like a solid, like, third person, like, survival shooter. Like, it feels really good, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think it works shockingly well as a roguelike mode. Like, going in there and having all these different, like, you know, between the assault and the hunted and all of that, like, getting in there with all these different permutations and taking on bosses and upgrading between rounds. I was like, this works. Like, this actually works shockingly well. I'm impressed.
It really, really does. Like, I finished No Return in terms of, like, completing all the bosses that were there available, unlocked all the characters. And the first couple runs, it was just, like, getting your teeth kicked in. And I always played on moderate. Mm-hmm. I'm not one that's going to crank up the difficulty Same. Beyond that because I enjoy, you know, not throwing my controller at the TV. But, like, I was still getting my teeth kicked in. And it was one of those things that's, like, as I started to remember how the combat worked, as I started to remember the flow of how to actually function in that game, the combat is just excellent. And Seth, I don't think you're alone in feeling that way about The Last of Us Part 1. It was something like a bit of a common thing to say that the gameplay was the weakest element of that package. Because again, when so many things are so good, people felt that it was just kind of like, you know, not the leap that it should have been. But Part 2 just really takes everything and excels in every way, shape, and form. It feels so buttery smooth, like the dodges and that bow and arrow is just so good. I have to ask, who's your go-to character for your run so far? Do you have one? Have you landed on a character?
Just Ellie. I just like, and I've only, yeah, and like, because Ellie's kind of like your well-rounded sort of character. When you first start, you've got Ellie and Abby. And Abby is kind of more about, like, close quarters, like, melee stuff. That's another really cool thing is all the unlockable characters have, like, specialties. And, like, these people are better at this thing. And I kind of, I don't know, like, I've experimented. I've only unlocked a handful of characters. I'm still chipping away through it. But like, just Ellie's kind of, like, the well-roundedness of Ellie, I feel is very, like, comfy to sort of get into. And good for, like, any situation. And, yeah, I don't know. It's, like, I like this idea that Sony's been doing of, like, adding these rogue between this and God of War. I'm like, I like that they're kind of recontextualizing their own games and, like, extracting more from them. Like, it's not just these are our big single-player sad dad games. Also, we've created these whole, like, combat systems and, like, these great, you know, fleshed out things. Like, let's get a little more meat out of it. And I don't know. I really dig that. I'm impressed. I like it. I've been having a good time, just kind of going through, and the unlock path is really good. Like, I like how everything feeds into everything else. Like, I like how when I'm doing stuff in the single player, I'm unlocking stuff for the guitar free play mode, which is also amazing. Like, y'all, it would be worth the $10 upgrade just for the guitar free play mode. It's so good. It's so good.
It is ridiculous how, like, meaty that mode is and how much there is there for a mode that I'll never probably touch again, because I don't have the like mental fortitude to be able to put together something there. But I can't wait to see what I'm sure will be plenty of videos online of people like it, like putting together beautiful songs on that guitar, because it's really impressive what they did there.
It's robust, dude. Like, you can,
it is robust.
they let you play as, you can just play as the composer of the game. Like, you can just, like, he's in there. Like, they modeled him, mm-hmm. and you can just play as him. And so I'm sitting there playing as Gustavo Santolalla, I think his name is. And I'm just chilling there with my guitar. You have multiple, you can unlock a banjo. And I can just sit there and play banjo. I'm just whittling away. And, yeah, it's just fun. You can change the backgrounds. You can adjust the way your instrument sounds. So, like, you can get kind of a more rock sound out of it. So, I'm sitting there playing Damn It by Blink-182 in The Last of Us. Just, yes, oh, it's very good. Yeah. It's, yeah. I'm good stuff. Yeah.
Good stuff. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I hope you continue to do so. I'm very, very curious to talk to you once you finish the campaign.
Same.
Because I know that you will, I know that you're only going to enjoy it more because it's very, very good.
If only there was a way for you to do that, Matt. I guess there's just no way for you to talk to Seth. It's going to be impossible.
Just carrier pigeons.
Amazing?
Like, tossing out a bottle
into Discord. The closest bottle of water. Yeah, let's just hire a bunch of pigeons.
Mm-hmm. Lachlan would be happy about that.
New Patreon pigeon tier.
Lachlan would be overjoyed, and I would be horrified given my fear of birds.
She'll be like the pigeon dude from Hey Arnold.
Oh, I was thinking, wasn't it Grand Theft Auto or Spider-Man?
And Spider-Man.
Spider-Man has a pigeon dude.
Oh yeah.
Spider-Man does have a pigeon dude.
It's a New York thing. It's just pigeon people.
New York.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Without further ado, let's stay on this Last of Us train for our first story coming from the news. Huh?
Did you play anything?
I've been playing The Last of Us. And I will talk about other stuff next week that I can't talk about now, but
I'm teased and tickled.
Yeah. You like that tickle? Don't
I'm
you,
tickled.
Buddy? Yeah. Welcome to Tickle Town.
You did tickle me a little bit.
Welcome to Tickle Town. Population doing that with my daughter, Ellie, and the boys.
Welcome to Tickle Town. She just giggled. It's a good time.
All right, let's go hop into our first news story on this Last of Us train, because Sony is actually refunding Last of Us 2 PS4 owners who bought the PS5 version at full price, coming from Tom Ivan. Sony is reportedly refunding the Last of Us 2 PS4 owners who bought the PS5 version of the game at full price. It seems some players weren't aware that there's an upgrade path that allows owners of the last-gen version to buy the new PS5 one for $10 or $10 redos. With that in mind, it's claimed that Sony has begun automatically refunding players who purchased The Last of Us Part 2 Remastered at full price if they already own the digital version of the game on PS4. So I just wanted to toss this out because usually Sony, not too consumer friendly when it comes to handling refunds or anything else of this nature. But I just wanted to shout this out because I think this is cool. I think that for a lot of the people who aren't plugged in or watching the news all the time or aren't living on X, the premier social media platform, it can be easy not to know that you can do these upgrade paths. And for them to just go ahead and be like, you know what, we're just going to give y'all money back if you bought it the wrong way. I'm amped about this. Seth, what are your feelings? I need your thoughts. I need your opinion, some would say.
Makes sense. I mean, my gut reaction is just like, as they should. Mm-hmm.
That's
makes
the hope,
sense to
usually.
Me. Yeah, I mean, makes sense to me. Yeah, there are a lot of people. I could see, because admittedly, before it came out, I was kind of excited. I was kind of like looking for the listing of the upgrade path. Yeah, I was like searching for it on the PSN and I couldn't find it. But like I knew, my assumption was, you know, oh, well, on launch day, it'll be available. But as y'all know, like I'm a capital G hardcore gamer. You know, I'm just gaming. It's just gamer hours always over here. So I know as a hardcore gamer that they would be doing that. But you know, people who are not hardcore gamers like myself might not have been aware. So
lowercase
I get
gamers.
It. Yeah. Lowercase G.
I'm, I still support, and I hope I'm not spoiling anything for this new tier for the Carpool Gaming Patreon, but I just need to let people know that, like, the tier that's going to get Seth the gamer tattoo across his forehead finally in giant capital letters, I'll donate all of my money to that tier. So just please.
We've been talking about that for a while. Yeah, we've been cooking that up for a while. So yeah, that is good to know.
I just need to get
in tribal font also.
Yeah.
With our own just Carpool Gaming Lexicon.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just rules with a Z on your inner lip that you can just rules. So gamer rules, you know, you're in. I'm excited. Sean, any thoughts, feelings? Is this enough to get you to upgrade? Are you going to upgrade? Because we know how much of a big fan you are of part two.
I'm not going to upgrade.
Huge fan.
I do not like this game very much, but I do like that they're doing this. That it's the right thing, you know? And I think that it's interesting that it's a newsworthy piece because kind of how you framed it at the start, like, it's just not exactly what you would expect, but it's great because nobody wants to find out later, hey man, you know, you could have just paid $10 instead of that 50, 60 or whatever you paid. So like it's a feel good. It prevents people from feeling bad and that kind of thing. So I'm glad that you're kind of raising this up and letting people know that, you know, do the right thing. And even if you don't, they got you. It's a little safety net. They got you. It's okay. Yeah. We all make mistakes. It's okay.
Especially because of how awful PlayStation can be with refunds and stuff, especially on the digital storefront. So this is just one of them where it's just like a pat on the back. We'll call you out when we need to call you out. But when you do a good thing, we'll let you know that too. And it's actually a good thing for this next story that I have two of the seminal hosts from the Nintendo Drive to talk about the death of Splatoon. Because in February, we got confirmation that Square Enix's Foam Stars will launch next month via PlayStation Plus. This is coming from Andy Robinson at VGC. But the 4v4 shooter will be given to subscribers at no extra cost. Value, $30 purchase required after. That's right, folks. Square Enix has announced that its 4v4 shooter Foam Stars will launch on February 6th as a PlayStation Plus monthly game. There will be no additional cost until March 5th. Afterwards, if you want to buy it, and if you somehow miss out on the month of February where nothing else is coming out but Foam Stars, okay, you'll have to pay $30 for it. But it's coming. We know we have a launch date, and we know that it's coming into PlayStation Plus Essential at launch. Folks, RIP Splatoon, dead game. Though, don't even putting out any more. Foam Stars is coming. Yeah. Sean, what's your hype level?
More blatant ripoffs, please. More of them. Yes, we got Power World, we got Foam Stars. What's next, man? Just keep it coming. You know, this is almost becoming a bit of a meme, I think. It's going to have a moment. This is so blatant that you can't ignore it. You gotta try it. It's so ridiculous that I guess we're all going to give it a shot. So kudos to Square Enix, I guess, kind of riding over the wave and just kind of seeing, is this thing going to land? I have to admit, I'm a little bit intrigued. And I'm also coming off of, I get like this with Nintendo sometimes, a little burned by Nintendo in some instances. Ooh. And I feel like Splatoon 3 was a layup. I feel like they didn't do enough for that to be a sequel. Now that's going to light the fires under some people's butts and underwears. But that's my feeling. I feel like it was kind of lame, to be honest with you. So have an innovative, maybe there's something here in the ripoff land that is Foam Stars. And it's no extra cost, as you pointed out. So maybe I'll give it a shot. Maybe we'll have a Foam Star Saturdays or Friday. Foam Star Friday.
Foam Star Fridays. I think that the name pretty just good. Writes itself. Foam Friday Star Saturdays. Just a weekend full of Foam Stars. Who needs anything more? Seth, The early scuttlebutt does actually say that this game is supposed to be pretty fun. Is this on your radar? Are you day one on Foam Stars?
I'm good.
Oh, Seth,
pass.
We need you. Come on. Come on over. Come on.
Here's the thing. Not only is it... I actually kind of like the idea of the foam, like, creating, like, land. Like kind of doing something interesting with the environment. I'm actually cool with that. I think that's a neat idea. That elevates it a little bit beyond. Because say what you... I love Splatoon, but Splatoon has not really done anything, like, unique with its central gimmick the entire time. So I do kind of like the idea of the foam actually altering the my big problem with it is, like, what everybody is, like, purporting about Power World is true about Foam Stars. Like, Square Enix has confirmed that they're using AI art in Foam Stars. And it's like, okay.
Only a little.
Only a little.
Yeah, mega corporation just can't afford to pay artists, but that's all right. You know,
no, of course not.
I forgot about that. That's a good point.
I'm a little over it. You know, I'm just a little, I'm good.
Listen, when Square Enix puts in that much effort and development time into a new property, a new franchise, okay?
That's true. That's right.
It can be understood.
Concepting a brand new idea.
Exactly. When it's so novel.
So unique.
The likes of which have never been seen before. Never you have played to anything like it before. Corners. No, never. Which is why, coming from the Discord, actually, Drellish posted this in. I'm going to pull it in right now. But coming from Square Enix themselves, they plan to slim down their lineup to focus on higher quality titles. They want to structure their development functions so that they're able to ensure higher quality from each title by slimming down their lineup, according to Takashi Kiryu, the Square Enix president. So this is just confirmation that Square Enix will be doing nothing but Final Fantasy and Foam Stars moving forward. There's no need for any other property. Those are the big two. But yeah, I feel like Square's been getting battered around a little bit the last little while. I feel like the last few games have been good, but I feel like they haven't kind of reached that upper echelon that they want them to. So Seth, what is, if you were Mr. Square Enix and you had the dollars to put towards the next thing, are you doing Kingdom Hearts? Are you doing Final Fantasy? Are you doing Nier? And let's keep this in their established franchises, but like, what do you think they need to do to start, you know, kicking butt again? Because we talk about Capcom doing great things, Monster Hunter. So many, they've really been on a tear the last few years. What does Square Enix need to do to get to that level again?
Well, I actually think that they've been putting out some pretty good stuff. A lot of people forget about Octopath Traveler 2. Octopath Traveler 2 is wonderful. Like, it's genuinely probably the best RPG that came out last year, and a lot of people slept on it. And Octopath Traveler 2, I think, is, for me, when I saw that, I was like, man, if they had called this Final Fantasy 16, I think that would have been really bold and cool. But anyways, between that, between Final Fantasy 16, which a lot of people, you know, do like, despite the fact that it's not really an RPG, it's more of like an action game. I haven't played it, but you know, that had a lot of traction. I feel like they have been putting out some pretty strong stuff, but if I were them, I would double down on stuff like that, like the stuff that I think they're doing on a unique level. I like stuff like the HD 2D, you know, sort of remakes. Like the fact that they haven't done an HD 2D Chrono Trigger is insane to me.
Right.
I feel like that would sell so insanely well if they just did that. If they did what they did with Live Alive, but for Chrono Trigger, like that would be out of control. So I think I would fast track something like that. Kingdom Hearts sells really well. So like, you know, and then me, like I'm a Kingdom Hearts fan despite everything. So I would be happy with that. But you know, is what it is.
Yeah. I'm with you, dude. I want Kingdom Hearts to come back. That tease that we got of whatever is next was really, really cool. They used to do 2D stuff. I think, I mean, like looking at Ubisoft, who does so many of the massive AAA full budget stuff, to seeing Prince of Persia, which is a smaller scale game, but now again, the talk of the town, people super stoked about it. I feel like Square Enix can fit that 2D HD in that same kind of hole that seems to be that. I just don't feel like they're capitalizing on it enough. I think you're right.
Crunchy, I agree.
Is a must, but Sean, now the title of Mr. Square Enix has been passed to you. What do you do with the keys to the castle?
Yeah, I think the context is important. I don't think that Square Enix is all that poopy right now. Like, if anything, they released too much too close together, you know, 2022 and 2023, maybe. So maybe just extend things a little bit and let some of these, especially some of these newer franchises, come and breathe a little bit. But like, they're kind of like, aren't they crushing it? Like, Final Fantasy 14 is just amazing, and Final Fantasy 16 people loved, and I don't know that there's really anything that quality wise wasn't really there. They just shed all the sort of Western stuff a while back, you know, so Dying Light 2 might have been the last thing that we saw from them. So I don't really know necessarily what the issue is, but to the point of maybe Capcom, like, just, yeah, go back to the well and make us buy the old stuff all over again. Make it pretty.
That's
again,
right, baby.
And let it live. But you know, it's a quick moment where you go from regurgitating what you've done in the past to like, that's all you do. So it's tough to strike that balance. What is the new next thing for us to love that isn't Final Fantasy or Dragon Quest or some of these known quantities. I think they've tried that, but maybe in sort of like that Ubisoft kind of way of just like, let's just throw them all out and see which one lands. And not sure that really anything really did. Octopath maybe being a slight outsider there that had the opportunity to launch on Switch originally. And I think that was just a benefit for any game to do. So maybe that's it. Just go focus on Switch. Just go launch things primarily there. But yeah, I don't think, maybe you guys have a different perspective on this. I don't think that Square Enix is all that in a crappy place.
No, I agree. No, I'm with you.
I think you kind of nailed it, Sean, with them doing a lot. I've just pulled up a list because starting from basically February of 2022, okay, they did Voice of Cards, they did Babylon's Fall, they did Chocobo GP, they did Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy, they did Chrono Cross, they did Live Alive, they did Various Daylight, they did Voice of Cards again, they did Diofield Chronicles, they did Valkyrie Elysium, they did Star Ocean, they did Tactics Ogre, they did Romancing Saga, they did Crisis. They did a lot in a very short amount of span, and I think you're right. I don't think anybody's out there like looking for the next Square Enix title. They're more looking for what is the next title from the franchise that I care about, rather than looking forward to what I think was that Squaresoft, Square Enix name that I think carried a little bit more weight a decade ago than it does today. So I think you're right. In the chat, Hambo and Johnny, seems like a lot of peaks and valleys with Square Enix. I think this is apt as well. I feel like the high highs, like the Octopath Travelers, that were so critically acclaimed, and like you said, Seth, I think probably deserved more love than what it got last year, was just kind of buried amongst the sea of everything else around it, and not even just outside of Square Enix. So I hope that they do kind of step back and refocus a little bit for whatever's next, because I think they have some incredible franchises and incredible talent that just maybe is just moving too fast.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's like, wouldn't PlayStation or even Xbox for that matter like kill for a release schedule like that, you know, with their subscription models and everything? It seems like they would want all of that. And then here's Square Enix just like pushing things out. Maybe cheer, like, what are we really trying to solve for here? And I think you bring up, when a Square Enix game drops, it should be like a moment. Like that used to be, especially Squaresoft. It was like, oh my gosh, just like push all aside. I'm picking up Parasite Eve. I'm picking up Final Fantasy Tactics. Whatever dropped, you just pick that up. So maybe there's something there, like once a year, right? Because you never know which one it's going to be. So maybe they're just, that's them trying a bunch of stuff. But like once a year, they have the output, they have the developers, they have the team and resources that they could do something like that. And maybe that's just not really that identified here because they just throw so much out there. But it would be good to have like one big moment, and maybe even in like the summer, that they could like talk about it in like this big summer celebration of video games extraordinaire, and let us know this year you're getting this from Square Enix. That would be very cool.
I think you're right. And I think they have a lot of incredible ideas. I just want to see them kind of maybe given more time to actually land than quickly being shuffled over onto the next thing. Let's touch on one more story here, folks, before we get into these wonderful questions from the audience, because we got an Until Dawn film coming. This is coming from IGN, written by Taylor Lyles. An Until Dawn film adaptation is in the works with Shazam! Lights Out director David F. Sandberg. Another well-known horror game is getting the big screen treatment. This time, it's Supermassive Games' 2015 release, Until Dawn. Sony Pictures has confirmed to IGN that the movie adaptation of Until Dawn will be directed by David F. Sandberg, who previously directed horror hits like Lights Out and Annabelle Creation, as well as Shazam! And its sequel, Fury of the Gods. We're getting more stuff from PlayStation Studios here. We know Horizon's on the way. We obviously had Last of Us, which cleaned up awards season already, and I'm sure will only continue to do so. You know, God of War, Horizon, they have Gran Turismo is a thing that existed. Twisted Metal was far better than any had any right to be.
Yeah, it was.
So I want to know, Sean, we've had some of these choose your own adventure movies / episodic stuff that hit on stuff like Netflix. Some of the streaming services have experimented with them. Do you want Until Dawn to fit into that, to kind of give it the spirit of the game? Or are you looking for a more straightforward horror movie?
To be honest with you, I hadn't thought of that. That would be really cool. I wish more media was choose your own adventure. Like, those books were just classic, man. You're like, you flip to your choice, like, oh no, that's the end. Let me go back. Let me change my choice here a little bit. That would be really cool. So to be honest, I wasn't thinking that. I'm good either way. I think the premise and just the hopefully they can get all the actors back in for the movie as well. But I thought that this was a great thing to explore. I'm not against this at all. And of course, the internet, I'm sure, is on fire. Like, why do we need this? And blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm good with it. actually, and I'll probably film it in my backyard here in the mountains of Alberta, Canada, which would be very cool. But like, maybe. What's scary about it is very interesting in Until Dawn. Like, what's kind of the big bad? I think is
the thing.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. So give it to me and make it. You know that there's pedigree here to actually make it really good. It'll be interesting. You know, there's kind of two elements to me that jump out with Until Dawn. One is the choice, the agency that the player has, but also the second one is kind of like the hokiness to it. Like the knowing nod to the audience. Like, we know we're being a little cheesy kind of thing. So finding that balance in movie form would be almost like Scream back in the day. You know, very self-aware, irreverent kind of tone. But the pedigree here of who's making the game or the movie, maybe just lean right into the horror element of it. So I'm kind of good either way. There's a lot of different directions this could go. So I'm here for it. Until Dawn was one of the best games on PS4, like bar none. It is excellent, man. So glad it's getting another life here.
Yeah, me too. Like, I'm really, really curious to see what is going to come from this, because I think you're right. The pedigree here, they do have some good horror, you know, DNA within the writers and the director. Seth, do you want the OG cast back, or are you hoping it's kind of like a one-to-one-ish remake of the game, or are you hoping that they kind of take a lot of the ideas that that first game brought and kind of reinvent it? It's been a decade already since the original.
Yeah, they're a little older, I guess. Hey,
they're a little bit older. But like, what are you hoping for in terms of, like, again, creating the movie out of this game?
Yeah, I think it should be a straight up, because if they did do like a choose your own adventure thing at that point, why don't I just play the game? I sort of feel that way about like most video game movies. But with that being said, there's a chance to make this something different that sort of like earns the medium, I guess. And I think you could make kind of a fun, cheesy, sort of schlocky horror thing out of this. And that would be, you know, fun and interesting. I do think you probably need a new cast, because, you know, those people are probably 40 years old now. You know, I don't know if they can pull off the teenager thing quite so well, but I would be okay with a schlocky, you know, kind of, because it almost has like, and I agree with what Sean said. I don't know if we should spoil like what's going on, but there is an interesting, you know, sort of like supernatural, I guess, element to Until Dawn. And I do like that aspect of it. And I think that is something that isn't super like the thing in Until Dawn is not something you see, I guess, in a lot of horror movies. And I do sort of think that could give it a bit of a point of difference. So, I don't know. I'd be interested in this. We'll see what happens.
I think you're both onto something. I do hope it's kind of a little more on the campier side, because I also do think about it from like in a general accessibility standpoint. And I use that word in the terms of like, I'm not one for like super dark horror movies that are like ridiculously gory and like genuinely terrifying. I kind of hope they lean into the silliness of what is inherently in that game to make this a movie that can be, you know, more easily watched by a larger array of people. Because I do think that, like you guys mentioned, the narrative is pretty cool. They do some really, really cool stuff with those characters and the mystery behind it. So for them to kind of pull that over and make it, you know, fun and exciting to kind of watch, I'm in on this. And I'm glad it's a movie. I don't want like a series out of this. I don't want a TV show out of this. Like, I don't really need anything more than an hour and a half to 2 hours of just tight, silly, scary fun. And if it nails that, I think it could really kind of open itself up to, because then again, we know how good Supermassive are at these anthologies, so be able to kind of again make this into a franchise would not be the most difficult thing, but we will find
can
out.
Can I say something kind of stupid real quick,
please?
I just had this thought, and I kind of just want to put it out there. It's a little stupid, but I just want to say it. I like cold horror. Like, I like horror movies that take place in cold places. Does that make sense? Like, yes. I like it when they're genre. Like they're like
cold horror.
I walk in order to the Blockbuster back in the corner. Here's where we find all your cold horror movies.
The AC is on else? Very like, much in that mean? Section.
Like, I like
the broken window.
What else? So you
I'm thinking like the thing, you know, like I okay. like it when okay. we're like we're snowed in, you know, in like a cabin. I like cold right. horror.
Cold and, like, horror.
I think.
Do you need to be cold, or does the horror need to be cold, or is this the best dish served both cold?
There's something about it, and I'm kind of in this like I'm kind of in this space because like even The Last of Us Part Two is sort of in the beginning is kind of cool like horror. This a little bit,
yeah.
And so I've kind of been thinking like, what is it that I like about that? Like I kind of The Shining, you know, is sort of and like I don't know. There's something about that that I kind of like the natural element of it, and I don't know. There's something like to that. And I knew I knew it was stupid when I said it. So you know.
It was just the way that you said it. I think you are onto yeah. something. So we're kind of just piling on here a little bit. But yeah, I mean, it should be. That's what I talk about. Like, setting is a really important piece when it comes to really anything, but especially horror. Like, where are they? Mm. Like what? Mm-hmm. Is it just a house? Is it? Yeah, like that kind of thing. I get you. I got you.
Yeah, cold horror.
Especially because it's like, cold horror. I feel like snow has this really like almost pristine Christmas-like image where it's like, oh, it's snow. Of course it's white and it's wonderful and it's snowy and whatever.
Yeah. Like,
I kind of have that like balancing
blood
act
on the
of
snow.
Like,
blood on the
exactly,
snow.
Right? There's there's something there. That
30
kind
Days
of
Night, yeah. Josh Hartnett.
Yeah.
Though I will say I watched the movie in high school. My friends were very much into horror. I very much was not, but of course I didn't want to be the loser who didn't go to the movies to watch a horror movie. But I think it was called Last Christmas, something like that. It was a remake and one of the worst things I've ever watched. They made they made cookies out of people. That was not a thing I ever need to revisit. So that was not a good cold horror. Bad cold horror. Don't go to that.
We want a good cold horror.
Yeah.
Until Dawn is a good cold horror.
Yeah.
Until Dawn is a good cold horror.
Top tier.
Winter and Last of Us Part One. Good cold horror.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. All right, folks, let's get into some questions because we have a bunch from this wonderful community. Surprisingly, all about various states of temperature and seasons. But if you want your questions read on the show, toss them in the Discord on the X post that goes live each and every week or here on the YouTube comments. Like Naga Chaka did, saying, question for Sean, and I'm going to do this for Sean and Seth. Sorry, Naga Chaka, taking over your question. When thinking back to all of the amazing moments on the PlayStation Drive, which one is your absolute favorite?
Oh man, there's so many, dude. Just any time that you laugh.
Yeah, I agree.
There's some great shorts on the channel as well. One, when we realized Court and Mart are both places you can go with these two people. It's just incredible. I don't know, dude. Like I've got to watch you in so many iterations of the show as well, of course, with Ryan and with Court. And a lot of my favorite moments are both on the show, but then also in the Discord and kind of just seeing the community really take off. The show has been such a cornerstone to Carpool Gaming, which apparently is going to become the weather network of podcasts at any moment here. But yeah, I think you brought in a lot of new guests and new faces, new voices to the show. And you've always done that in a very classy way, you know, bringing your values to the forefront and having it feel natural, I think, is a really tricky thing to do. You do that with a lot of grace. And so I think that's been sort of less of a moment, but more of like one of my favorite things that I've seen you do. Anytime, this isn't necessarily just PlayStation Drive, but anytime we had like a showcase, like it's PlayStation Showcase Day, it's video game, it's the Game Awards Day. It's, you know, whenever Matt just let his creative brain just kind of run wild is some of my favorite things in all of Carpool, not just the PlayStation Drive. It's like, yes, more of this, Matt. Like, you're just so naturally entertaining and engaging. I'm going off a little bit as far as like just celebrating you here for a minute, but you've had so many great moments. It's hard to pick just one, but you make people laugh, dude, and you make the world a brighter place. And I'm just really grateful for your time here. So you're great, buddy.
Thanks. Yeah. Man. I'm trying not to get emotional here, but I appreciate that a lot.
I'll push you over. I gotcha.
Cosign.
Catch your rate. Yeah.
Cosign. Push me right over the edge, buddy. Seth,
edge me. I co-sign everything that Sean said. You're a special talent, dude. Mm-hmm. And the thing that I'm gonna try not to get emotional too, but I'm gonna miss like your energy so much, but also, yeah, those values that you bring to the forefront, I think are so important. And I think that, you're always, you know, gonna champion, marginalized voices. I think you're always gonna, you know, you're always gonna be a very caring and empathetic person. That's rare. I hope you appreciate that. Like how rare it is, mm-hmm. especially in this industry, for people to have real empathy. You have that. And, I'm gonna miss that a lot, here on, not that the people on this team aren't empathetic, but you really wear that on your sleeve. And I really love and appreciate that about you. But yeah, like, and it's also like, The little moments that exist outside of the show, because there's all kinds of, you know, the poop thing, that the question that Steve Igvari, the peeing and pooping, that's all funny, you know, making fun of Court for doing the driving.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yes, that's amazing. Yeah,
it's a classic, you know, so many classic.
Dude, even the way you say X, moments. You destroy, like you made X fun. Like we're not saying Twitter, we're saying X. Like it's just, oh, it's so great.
Because Supreme like the classic. That's true. Well, the classic whole thing is I'm not saying X or whatever, but Matt's like, let's lean into it. X,
yeah, it's stupid. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just you know, really kind of you're a great talent. Like you take situations and you make them your own. One of my favorite moments just working with you in Carpool in general was Sean was on break. We didn't have Amanda yet on the Nintendo Drive.
Oh my god. Lockliff
needed the night off, and she told me like 2 hours before the show, and I was like, well damn, what am I gonna do? I was like, maybe I'll just do a solo episode of the Nintendo Drive, let's see what happens, baby. But I reached out to Matt just to see, and Matt was like, yeah, sure. And the topic that night was top five characters we wanted in Mario Kart, and Matt comes in with a list of five characters that begin with R, regardless of if they make sense to be in Mario Kart or not. So it was like Rex from Toy Story, you know, yeah. Like, and he banged that out. He did the post show with me that night. We just talked about like music and stuff. And, it's just been really special, dude. Just, yeah, there's a lot of great moms.
I love from that episode, the Tatanga. Yeah. I know that Shore just so made good. The rounds again shortly a little bit ago, but like that brings such a big smile to my face every single time, because your reaction is just perfect. It's just perfect. It's like, all right, okay, come have a snack, sit back down, relax. Okay, I know where your mind was at, but
it's that laugh, dude. Like Sean mentioned it, like your laugh is just pure serotonin, Matt. Mm-hmm. Like you're like just, and I think it really sums up like you so well. Just, it's wild abandon. Like it's just like, no, like all caution to the wind, like just having fun. Like your laugh just sums that up. It just brings me so much joy anytime I hear you laugh. So. Yeah. Anyways. Well,
thank you both for the incredibly kind words. That's, I love and care about you both dearly. And there's just been, from even just like the, what is this? To all like the scary reactions on the streams and on the shows. And even like, Sean, I remember, like, I think back so fondly to like the Halo Infinite multiplayer days, where it was just like every few days, there was just a lobby of like 30 of us yelling at each other and going at it in Halo. There's been so many warm, silly memories. And this is just the end of chapter one. Like there's still so much more to come for you guys. I'm sure I'll be back to celebrate. I'm a forever a champion of Carpool Gaming, this team here in this community. That won't change no matter what. I have learned so much from you both, and just being able to hang out with you guys. I remember even a few months ago, I think it was leading up to Extra Life, where Sean just messaged me. He's like, yo, get on Discord. Me and Ryan are talking. It was like 11 p.m. at night. Like we just hopped on and chatted for a little bit. And it's just, there's been so many special, special moments like that. And those are things that I'll carry with me always. So thank you both for being wonderful humans, fantastic friends. And there's plenty of more to come. I have no doubt in my mind about that. Let's get this next question going from Drellish, coming in with the twosome. Sean, as a father, knowing what you know now, what he says, a dice. I think he meant advice, or you could take it as a pair of dice,
D20,
a singular dice. Yeah. would you give Matt on introducing gaming to his daughter? What PlayStation game or games would be good for father-daughter time? If you had to choose a name for Matt's daughter from a PlayStation game character, what name could it be? You cannot take Ellie again. So he's got three questions. How do I introduce my daughter to gaming?
Last of Us 2.
Yeah, definitely all the way to The Last of Us 2. Just, you know, for the good vibes and for the laughs.
Yeah, you'll
really enjoy that together.
Age-appropriate content.
I would say, and look, I always feel a little bit odd about giving advice because I don't have everything sorted out. I'm an absolute disaster mess. But, you know, from what I've experienced, I would say, you know, just take it one day at a time and everything naturally, you know, and that's not just video games. I think that's just everything. You can kind of introduce things and test things out, but you take their lead ultimately. The one thing that I found, especially with Lincoln, my oldest, if he wasn't into something in a moment, it was just not now. It wasn't necessarily never. And I kept thinking, especially with him, this might be a son thing, or at least for me, it was like, I always thought that he was like 4 years older than he was as far as like capability and interest and things. And it's like, he was like 2 years old. I'm like, why aren't you doing a bicycle kick in soccer? Like, what's going on? Like, you know, and
why can't you kickflip out of that ollie?
Exactly. So I think that was probably one of the first things that I noticed was like, we would introduce something and he wasn't really into it. And then maybe a year or two later, he was really into it. So it's just time, you know, and I think we all experience that even as adults. Sometimes a game just doesn't hit at the right time. So that's maybe the advice as far as onboarding into games. It's going to be the which game it will probably surprise you, I would say. Mm-hmm. And what's great is games are just expanding in their ability to welcome new players. Like for many of us, Super Mario was the first game that many of us played. Like, that game's balls hard, dude. Like, are you kidding me? There's so much to coordinate for like a 3 or 4 year old, you know, like Lincoln's first game was Animal Crossing New Leaf on his 2DS, right? So the console and what they play on will matter. For us, it was really important to just shove something with controls in their hands instead of just a touch screen or something like that. So yeah,
his next question was you kind of touched on the saying that the game might be a surprise, but the final question, if you had to name my daughter with a PlayStation game character, what name would you name her? And you cannot take Ellie again.
I feel like I'm going to make Kratos a unisex name.
I was thinking Parappa Sawinski would be pretty
Parappa,
good.
Parappa, nice.
Yeah, like that. Well, now I can't name my daughter that. Thanks for taking our name away from us.
Solid Snake Sawinski.
Oh, hell yeah.
Lukewarm length solid snake this.
Solid
Let's snake. Just make up a new Metal Gear.
Mm-hmm. Big boss.
My new one.
Drellish also says, when do we think we'll hear about a new Uncharted game? This is a great question that we've talked about ad nauseum, but I feel like it might be this year. I feel like we might get our first teaser this year. I don't think it's going to hit this year. I think that it feels to me like a 2025 game, but we might get an inkling. We might get a whisper, a teaser, a trailer of some sort. Mm. A tickle for everyone.
Back to Tickletown.
Black Wyvern comes in with a few questions as well. If one of your favorite RPGs is made into a live action show, which one would you want it to be? Seth, what RPG show would you want?
A live action show based on an RPG. It's interesting. They're talking about, you know, they're doing like the Fallout show and stuff. I feel like Bethesda RPGs lend themselves really well to this. You know, I feel like Elder Scrolls could be a really interesting, if they were to do Elder Scrolls, I would like them to actually not do Skyrim. Like, I think it would actually be fun to do like Morrowind instead, because Morrowind is so weird. Like, that whole area is like weird and alien. I would kind of like to see, you know, that on there. But yeah, like Kev mentions in the chat, Yakuza, I would love to see, especially like the Ichiban Yakuza translated into like some kind of like, especially on a show like that. That game is so serialized anyway, these little arcs, you know. And I love the way that Like a Dragon sort of like shines a light on marginalized groups and like really kind of you know, people like sex workers and homeless people and stuff, like really kind of shows that they're people too, you know. And I think kind of can reveal a little bit of cultural biases and stuff. And I don't know, I really like that. And I think that could actually be a pretty important show. Like if they, you know, if they angled it that way while still having a lot of the fun, I still want to see Ichiban, like, you know, fighting off goat people while trying to stay awake at the movies. You know, I still want to see stuff like that. But yeah, that'd be fun.
I think that has to be my answer too. Like getting a Like a Dragon show would be fantastic just because you really could have the twists and turns. The chapters are like Seth mentioned, already worked themselves out to be a really good way to divide the episodes. Having like this kind of, like, I'm almost thinking almost like Atlanta-esque episodes where some of them are just completely random and disconnected, but you could really bring some of the side stories and ridiculousness in through that. That could really strike this tone of like a drama that is entirely heartfelt, but also ridiculously funny. I think they could really, really nail it there. And I would love, love to see that. Sean, what about you? What RPG do you want to see in live action?
Live action. Well, I was going to give a quick shout out. People should definitely check out the Persona animes. Those are great. Not necessarily live action.
The Four Golden one is great.
Oh my gosh, so good. Look, I want to give a shout out to a very special Final Fantasy game that the community all ubiquitously loves. Final Fantasy VIII totally deserves its own live action. And I hope that they should just wear masks of pixelated faces. You know, just an absolute disaster.
That'd be great.
I don't know. Dude, like, I feel like
Canadian
it's a great
South
question.
Park with just the bottom moving.
Just the flapping heads. Oh, you're the most handsome guy here. RPGs just in general are such a, you could take any of them, literally anything could work as a TV show. They're all gigantically long and wonderful characters and everything. So I'll give a shout out to Final Fantasy VIII. I was going to say VII, but it's got enough. There's a lot with a lot of
cool
media
it.
Surrounding
we got enough.
I really was thinking that, but I felt like there's enough.
There's a
but
lot.
Just beautiful people.
Plus, I would hate to see any of the actors or actresses that would step into any of those roles, and I'm sure the love that they would get online would be massive and not at all completely ridiculously objectifying some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Black Wyvern's second question, and this is a doozy. Seth, I'm going to go to you first, but if Sony was making a PlayStation kitchen appliance that wasn't a mini fridge or a toaster, what would you wish it be?
The first thing that popped, do y'all know the vine of that kid running around? It's like a knife.
Yes. Like
that,
yes.
That came into my mind immediately
what do you
for
got
some
there?
Reason.
A knife.
No,
no. I love that video. Yes, dude. So good.
It's so good. Give me the official licensed PlayStation knife, just a cutlery set, you know, like just a full cutlery set, I think would be good. I want like a block. You know, with various knives, get your PlayStation characters on the handle and such. You know, the sacred symbols on there, you know, it'd be pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd be into that.
I think that'd be pretty good. Sean, what kitchen appliance do you want PlayStationified?
I've got two, if that's okay. I have a bagel slicer. You know, that you kind of like put it inside, you know, on its end. And have you ever seen, Matt's giving me like a, I don't know what that is. You ever seen like
I've
a bagel slicer?
I've never seen a bagel slicer.
What?
I just use
just real quick,
a knife.
You can just like put it like kind of horizontal or vertical, I guess, and just slice it right in the middle. But if that isn't good enough for you, then I'll get a nice toaster oven, which is mostly a commentary on the gigantic size of the PS5.
Yeah, I think either one of those could work. I want a waffle maker. And to keep in line with the PlayStation theme, you can have different plates that you can pop them in and out that would make different like characters. Like give me like an Astrobot waffle. Give me like an Ellie waffle. You know what I mean? Like have these designs on these waffles. I'd be all about it. I think it would be really, really cool. And our final question coming from Trickster 13. What's one franchise you want to see PlayStation bring back? For me, it's SOCOM. It would make a good live service game. Sean, what's a PlayStation franchise you want revived from the dead?
Seth already mentioned Parappa the Rappa. That that's a really good one. There's so many, dude. There's like so much history here. Dang it. I was not prepared for this question, even in the slightest. Seth, do you have anything?
Are we talking like Sony first party specifically? Is that the thrust
Twisted
of the
Metal,
question?
I'd go Twisted Metal.
Twisted Metal's a good one.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. The first thing that one of my favorite games of all time is a PlayStation exclusive game called Guitaru Man. And I would love any sort of new Guitaru Man anything. That would make me very happy. It's not official. I don't think it's like published by Sony or anything, though, if I'm not mistaken. So I would go with like I love Patapon. Like I would love to see that, you know, come back in some way. I love stuff like that, like the smaller scale kind of the stuff that like Sony Japan was making, you know, for a while. I love that stuff. I'd love to see more stuff like that.
I think for me, I would really love a new God of War. or The Last of Us. I feel like we haven't gotten enough from either one of those. But for me, it's been Infamous. Like, I really would love a new Infamous or a new Sly Cooper. Like, those games, like, both of those franchises are just so incredible, and I feel like have a lot more left to offer, especially Infamous, given how we haven't seen it since the launch of the PS4. And there's just, that game was unfairly hated because the combat and the mechanics and the gameplay in that game was so incredibly fun.
Totally agree. I completely agree. I don't know what was going on with people's opinion of that game, man. That game rules. Yeah, and so loved it. The expansion. Holy crap. And speaking of shards, like, run all over Seattle picking up shards.
Give me shards, all the shards. Everywhere. Mm-hmm. And then, like, what was it? First Light was the like expansion that dropped for it, which, again, great. Like, I feel like we need Infamous back. I feel like we've already got confirmation that Sucker Punch is not working on it. They've pretty much kind of come out and said, no, we're not doing it anymore. But I hope that somebody ends up making a new Infamous, because in a world where the MCU is as big as it is, even still, the fact that we don't have a major first-party Sony superhero game that used to be huge, it feels like a missed opportunity, because that we just need more of it. I love Spider-Man. But give me electricity or whatever powers we want to do again. I'm in.
First, man, that First Light was so good, y'all. It actually kind of like, it kind of pioneered what we have now. Like that kind of like, because you could get in there and do that kind of like speed run sort of combat arena scenarios and stuff. That's sort of what we're seeing now with like The Last of Us and God of War getting roguelike modes. First Light kind of pioneered that a little bit for Sony. Man, I would love that. Yeah.
Seriously. I want those back. But that, my friends, brings us to the end of the episode. Of course, before we go, Sean, if people wanted to see and hear more from you, where could they find you on this good old worldwide web of ours?
You can find me on Twitter, but more importantly, X. Yeah, you can find me on X at Sean Capri. Sean like Connor, Capri like the pants. I will take this moment, Matt, if that's okay, to let you know that the door is always open for you. I'm proud of you for making this challenging decision to put your family first. Bringing a baby into the world is one of the most, it's so cliche, but it's true, challenging and rewarding things that you could possibly do. But you have love in your heart. And I know that you're going to be a great dad. I know that you already are, just putting your family first. So I just want you to know that. I hope that you're kind to yourself. You're going to have great days. You're going to have challenging days, but we're all here for you no matter what. And I love you, man. And thanks so much for bringing this show into what it's become. You're amazing, dude.
Thank you, man. That truly does mean a lot. I love you a lot. And again, I cannot thank you enough for bringing me into the fold when you and Ryan did. Being able to start the show and then being trusted to take it over is something that I'll carry with me always. And again, like, I'm not leaving this community. You are all far too important and far too special for me to walk away. I care about you all deeply as friends, as family, and I know that I'll be around. I'm not going anywhere. But I appreciate that, and I care about you very much. So thank you, Seth. Where could they find you?
Yeah, I mean Twitter and stuff. That's all good. I'm in the Discord and stuff too. I'm on the Nintendo Drive. That's all well and good. But yeah, gonna miss you, buddy. Gonna miss having you here. I know you're not dying. I know you're, you know, I know that you're still gonna be around. I know that we'll still see you in the Discord, and I know that, you know, you're always a message away, and I know that we'll continue to chat as we always do, but you know, just thank you for everything that you've done for the, you know, above all else. I mean, you've brought so much to this team and to this show, but you're a great person and you're a great friend, and getting to know you and connect with you in the time that I've had with you on a personal level has been very meaningful to me. And, you know, and I know that you know that, and I know that, you know, we say it all the time privately, but I want everybody else to know it too. Like Matt's one of the good ones, and it's a tremendous loss. And yeah, I, you know, obviously everybody wishes you all the best in the next leg of your life and your journey, and we're going to be here for you to love and support you on everything moving forward. And yeah, just thank you for everything that you are, dude.
Likewise, man, like, are genuinely the friendship that I feel like you and I have fostered over the last little while, I feel is is hard to find. I feel like you and I said this on the latest episode of Pants, but I feel like you and I get each other in a really fundamental way. I feel like we connect, and the heart that you have and the love that you bring with you, no matter where you go, is something that was always appreciated. Talking music with you, doing, there's just so much to you that makes you so wonderfully special. Carpool is lucky to have you. This team is better with you on it. And I cannot wait to see what you do, what Sean does, what this team does. Where the, like, again, the PlayStation Drive is in great hands moving forward. I have no doubt about that in my mind whatsoever. I love and appreciate you both very, very much. And I know that the future will be bright, and we'll continue to kind of, you know, support each other no matter what. And I have no doubt in my mind about that. But we have to also thank our wonderful patrons, because we cannot end the show without thanking the wonderful people that make all of this possible. For all of the patrons on the Patreon, for all the people who have listened, we care about you all so very much. But of course, we have to shout out our ultimate producers, Tony Baker. You can find it at youtube.com/quest4pixels. Jonathan Brown, his link tree is pme.jib. And of course, his musical stylings can be found all over Carpool, especially the banger of an intro. Lena Varro, you can find at phoenixoverdrive.com. Of course, the wonderful fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team. Quagmire, who reminds you that the best babes are Xenobabes. Our platinum producers, Robbie Bobby Miller and Jonas Young. And our gold members, Adam K, Anna, Awesome Dave 1337, Bob Blah Blah, Bowza, Brad Moore, Brian Reese, Cecily Carosa, Dan and Luma, Dano, Jarlish, Emily O'Kelly, John 32, Marcus O'Neill, Peihei AP, Shy Guy, and Tim All. Thank you so, so much. Me and Ryan will be back next week for one more go around this good old PlayStation Drive. A throwback episode, of course. We wish you all the very best. Stay safe out there. Love you all. See you next time. Peace.